What up, everybody? This is the Ultimate Patriots Doctor Football Podcast Around the League Edition. Welcome. We are talking about everything that is happening outside of Foxborough, all the big stories around the league. Have a great roster of topics tonight. Joining me, as always, the CEO of Hedgebetter, Justin Fine. Justin, how's it going, my man?
We are doing well. Fresh off that Patriots podcast, ready to get into Around the League. Another good weekend of football.
Yeah, I mean, the plot's really thickening around the league. There's a lot of great, sexy storylines all across the NFL. Let me begin, Justin, by just saying that I did sweep a perfect 5-0 gambling this week.
Nice.
Did not lose a single bet. So that is always a great week.
That, you know what? That's just the type of performance right there when you can go undefeated in gambling. Just the entire week just feels different. You know what I mean? You got a better attitude.
Let's be clear. Like, I'm not putting my mortgage payment. I'm not really betting relevant sums of money. It's just like pocket change, but it just feels good to know that you had a good week.
Exactly. Yeah. It's good to be right. And it's nice to make money when you're right.
I think that's half the joy of it.
It is.
It's an elusive joy too. Exactly. I might add. All right, Justin. Well, there was a lot to talk about this week around the league. I don't know where to begin because there's just so many great stories, but I guess we should start with the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that just seems to have a horseshoe up their backside. 9-0 now, winning on Sunday in literally the most absurd fashion, Denver being unable to kick a 35-yard field goal to win that game, to win the game as time expired. I don't know how it happens. Somehow this Kansas City Chiefs continues to win. Patrick Mahomes still not playing well. No. The offense, Kansas City, still not playing well. What I'm going to throw out there, and you may disagree with this, but and I might be 100% wrong, but I'm starting to wonder if this isn't somewhat of not like a passing phase for Patrick Mahomes, but if maybe he's starting to diminish a little as a player. He's 29 years old. A lot of miles. I think we've always said the way he plays the game, the mobility, the elusiveness he throws in the pocket, that might not age quite as well as, say, someone like Brady did. I'm not saying he's cooked by any means, but I'm just saying maybe he's getting to a phase in his career where he can't quite do what he did a few years ago.
I don't know if I'm there. I don't know if I'm there yet. I mean, look, I think we, you know, looking back, this conversation was probably had with Brady a couple times, right? And I think every time he kind of proved us wrong. I think with Mahomes, you know, I don't want to say he's there yet as far as diminishing physically. But I think really what we're seeing is just a lack of consistency with the offense. You know, you look back over the last couple of years, I mean, he hasn't really had any other than Kelsey. You know, he hasn't had a consistent wide receiver or weapon to speak of. You know, a lot of turnover. He had turnovers with his offensive coordinator, guys like Eric Bieniemy leaving. He went to Washington, right, for a bit. So he's got turnover with his weapons. He's got turnover with his OCs. And right now, again, he's dealing with new receivers. They just traded for DeAndre Hopkins. A lot of his guys got injured already. His even just the running backs. He's got a new running back again. I don't know. I almost wonder if it's more so that, because I don't know. I'm not convinced that physically he's on the decline.
Well, look, what you just said, Justin, is like the party narrative. Nobody is questioning Patrick Mahomes right now. Everybody's pointing the finger at the wide receiver room. But what I'm saying, and it probably is that, but I just have my eyebrows raised a little bit because, I mean, it's been 2 years because it was really kind of the same story last year. It seems to be increasing. And I know the way this guy plays the game. I don't know if it's going to translate well into old age. Brady's game was perfect in terms of like being sustainable and playing late in a career. I don't know if Mahomes will be. I mean, it's nuts to say because he's only 29. He's still young and he's still a great player. I'm not saying that, but I'm just starting in the back of my head to question if maybe, you know, there is a little diminish of skills here and there, maybe that's nuts. We've said that about Lamar Jackson before.
Yeah.
And he's proving us wrong. He's proving us dead wrong. So it might well be the weapons around him.
It might well be. And you know what? I mean, look, it's tough. You know, we're having this conversation here, and the Kansas City Chiefs are sitting at 9-0, right? So yeah, you know, right. It's us trying to kind of nitpick a little bit. I mean, it's undoubtedly not one of Mahomes' best years by any means. But by the same token, he's still playing well enough for this team with what they have to be 9-0. And I know, you know what? It's funny because we just talked about them last week, and I said it. I was like, well, after saying all that, I think Denver goes out and beats them this week. And I bet it. Yeah. I bet it accordingly. I had Denver in everything with the spread, the money line. I had the under, all that stuff. Absolute heartbreaker seeing that field goal get blocked. But you know what? I think it was a tough divisional game. And when you can win games like that, you know, it really, really is. It speaks to just good teams find ways to win games.
You go back to week one and Isaiah Likely catching the game-winning touchdown, but his foot being out of bounds.
Yeah.
Right? They are just winning games in the most miraculous fashion. Yeah, it's a tremendous credit to them, but at some point, someone, somehow, some way, they're not going to get the break. They're not going to get the bounce. They're not going to get lucky, and someone's going to beat them. But what's crazy about that, Justin, is there's only seven opportunities left for that now.
Yeah.
And realistically, how many more losable games they have? We went through the schedule last week, not many. This week in Buffalo, it becomes like the game of the century now, where Buffalo's played great, 8-2, maybe playing better than Kansas City, by the way, but they're 8-2. You know, and if Buffalo doesn't beat them, Buffalo's going to have the best chance, I think, to knock them off of any remaining opponent for sure.
Oh, big time. This is going to be a big test for Buffalo. I think Buffalo is, I don't know what it is. I'm just still not giving them, I think, the attention and respect they deserve. I don't know why. Maybe that's just a me thing. But if they go out and they can hand the Chiefs their first loss this year, I think it's going to be tough not to pay attention to them. I think, you know what, to me, is they're just not the flashy choice. They're boring, right? You know, the Texans, the Lions, like all these teams, like those are the new like hot commodities right now. The Bills, it just seems like it's same old story. Good regular season team. Eventually they choke away in the playoffs. How many more opportunities do they have left in this window? I don't know, but maybe this is the year.
They always play Kansas City tough, though.
They do.
And they won't be intimidated by Kansas City. The game's in their stadium. So I will call it. Like, I think Buffalo wins this game this week. I know Kansas City is like a cat with nine lives. That's what they've been. And they just keep pulling these amazing wins out of thin air. I think playing a team like Buffalo and playing a player like Josh Allen, I just feel like the luck's going to run out. I really do. Allen will make enough plays to win this game. And I haven't seen yet that Kansas City can do that against a good Buffalo defense on the road.
It will definitely, I think, be their toughest test so far this year.
Not even a question, for sure. And they've had some tough ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the Detroit Lions Sunday night game in the NFC. Look, Jared Goff throws five interceptions in that game, and the Detroit Lions still somehow find a way to win that game.
Yeah.
I think the Lions are playing the best of any team in the NFL right now. I think they proved that is a game the Lions are supposed to lose against a good team on the road on Sunday night, and you turn the ball over.
Yep.
And they come back from two scores down in the second half and find a way to win that game with two 58-yard field goals, both of which almost missed. The Lions right now, Justin, are showing they're the best team in the NFL. We say it every week, but it's just amazing to watch.
Yeah, I hands down. Like, at this point for me, I'm totally sold. That's my – I think they're hands down the best team in the NFC, and I think it's really tough to say they're not the best team in the NFL right now. And look, I'm rooting for them. I think we're all rooting for them. It's they're just, especially, you know, you see Dan Campbell, like it's so so tough not to see what this team has done over the last 4 or 5 years and just really be big fans of them. And they're backing it up. They're not disappointing. They're just as good this year as everyone was hoping they'd be. Even better, I think.
Agreed. They're better than people thought they were going to be. Who is the biggest threat right now to Detroit, Justin, in the NFC? Is it the Philadelphia Eagles?
In the NFC? I think it is. I think you gotta look at the Eagles. I mean, you know, the Eagles are maybe even, dare I say it, I know it's gonna sound crazy, but I think after the Eagles, you gotta look at the Rams. You gotta look at the Rams because that's a team that's played Detroit twice. They almost beat them in Detroit in the playoffs last year. If that team is healthy, like Stafford, Nakua, like Kupp, like they're going to be a tough out.
But they're not even going to make the playoffs, are they?
I don't think it's out of the question at this point. I think they could still make the playoffs.
Yeah, they hold the 10th seed in the NFC. So is it possible? Yes, it's possible. But I don't think the Rams are likely to make it. I'm going to tell you the team I think, because I actually, even though I asked the question, I don't think it's the Philadelphia Eagles that is the biggest threat to the Lions in the NFC. I think, first of all, let me say, there are very few teams that I think I could see beating the Detroit Lions in the postseason, especially in Detroit.
Yeah.
And I am not sure if I could see Philadelphia doing that because they've had a soft schedule, the Eagles. And I feel like that team is showing us they fall apart in some, you know, the last year in these tough spots. The team that could beat the Detroit Lions right now is the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings almost beat them a few weeks ago. I know they're playing bad now, but when it comes down to it in January, they're used to going to Detroit. They're not going to be intimidated. They've played that team several times. They played them tough earlier this year. The Minnesota Vikings are the biggest threat to the Detroit Lions in the NFC.
Yeah, I don't hate that take at all. I think, like you said, they almost beat them. That's a good team. I know they didn't look particularly good against the Jaguars this week, but they won. You know, I believe they're 7-2. They have just as good a chance as anybody else. They got some star power and offense. That defense looks pretty good. And divisional rivals, like, you know, when you play against a divisional opponent, you know, it really is truly more often than not just a gritty, tough matchup. And it really doesn't matter whose record is what or who's beaten who. And in the playoffs, I think that'll be a really exciting matchup to watch.
And I might even put ahead of the Eagles, the Green Bay Packers as well, because the same thing. It's the division matchups in the playoffs always scare you. Teams that are familiar with each other. I know Detroit dominated Green Bay in Green Bay a few weeks ago, but I still feel like that whole division thing, it's always a funny thing.
I agree totally. I think Green Bay is going to be very tough. And it's funny because Green Bay just got throttled in Lambeau by Detroit like 2 weeks ago. But still, I mean, I really don't think you can use that. You can look too much into that when it comes to the playoffs, because again, the playoffs is a whole different animal. Divisional opponents, the Packers, I think, are just going to continue to get better. So there are a couple teams. Look, there's a couple teams that can give them a good game. Totally agree. But I just, the Detroit Lions are starting to get this air about them as if they're a team of destiny this year.
Yeah, no question about it. No question about it. I'll tell you three teams that are going to make the playoffs in the NFC that I would say have no chance to beat Detroit. And that's Atlanta.
Yeah.
Right. No way.
Agreed.
Arizona. No way. And I don't think Washington can beat them.
No, I agree.
So we'll see how that develops as we kind of come down the stretch here. Okay, Justin, let's talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am struggling to remember ever a 7-2 team getting less run as a Super Bowl contender. How about as a division winner than the Pittsburgh Steelers? Okay, Mike Tomlin looks like he was right about the Russell Wilson thing. Russell Wilson looks like he has brought an element to that team that they did not have previously.
Yep.
They have a great defense. And before we start asking if it's possible for a team that is built around a great defense to win a Super Bowl in 2024's game, before we even start to ask that question, let's just take notice of what Russell Wilson and the Steelers have done the last few weeks, which is put up points and throw the ball reasonably well.
Yeah.
Are the Pittsburgh Steelers a Super Bowl contender?
No. No. I'm sorry. I know. I think they're a good team. I know they have a good defense. They got a good coach. Like you said, Russell Wilson looks better than I think people thought. I just can't, for some reason, maybe I'm completely wrong about this. I just can't see them emerging from the AFC as the AFC champs. I can't see them beating the Chiefs. I don't know. I can't see them beating even maybe the Bills. I don't know. I can't see them beating the Bengals even if in a playoff scenario. I don't know. Just something is not clicking with me and the Steelers.
You know what's funny is that if we were to ask people who the best team in the AFC North is, I don't think almost anyone outside of Pittsburgh would say it wasn't Baltimore. And yeah. The Steelers have the better record right now.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I mean, I'm still a big believer in the Bengals. I think the Bengals are going to make the playoffs and go on a little run too. So to me, I'm looking at the Steelers as well. That's impressive, but I'm not even considering them.
Do you still think the Bengals are going to make the playoffs, Justin?
I do.
Because to me, I think they had to win that game Thursday night.
I think that was a tough loss, but I look at them, what? Are they 4-6 or 4-7?
4-6.
4-6. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a team, you know what? That's going to keep getting better. Joe Burrow looks good. And when they're healthy, big if emphasis on when they're healthy, I think that's a tough team to beat. I'm actually very afraid of them in the playoffs. I think I actually would like to make a bet that they come out of the AFC right now.
The Bengals?
Just, yeah, the Bengals. That's just
That's a great bet. It really is. I'm gonna tell you why. Value. Because they hold the ninth seed, but they're 4-6. They're only a game behind Denver.
Yep.
Someone is sneaking into that seventh seed in the AFC. Yes. That's not that good of a team.
Yep. Yep, I agree. I think the Bengals are going to find their way to sneak in. And then if they're sneaking in and they're healthy, look out, because outside of Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that's one of the most experienced quarterbacks in the AFC. And they got weapons and they're dangerous. And it would bode very well for my Cincinnati-Detroit Super Bowl future. We would like that. So.
Yeah, you would definitely like that. Yeah. It's not looking so good right now, but that could change fast.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to talk a little bit about Mac Jones, Justin, old friend Mac Jones, who played on Sunday in Jacksonville. And, you know, I have to say, I almost feel bad for Mac Jones because I don't think he is as bad a player as he has become. And Mac Jones is really serving as the poster boy, stereotypical, quintessential example of a player that has become mentally ruined.
Yeah.
And Jacksonville, by all rights, should have won that game. Minnesota handed it to them. I think Sam Darnold turned it over three times. Mac Jones turns the ball over three times in the final 10 minutes of that game. Two picks and a fumble, and they lose. It was just another collapse from a guy that is showing that there's something about his wiring that he cannot perform well when the pressure is on him. And you talk about players handling pressure, and Mac Jones just can't do it. So I don't know if you have any thoughts about the situation with Mac in Jacksonville this week.
No, you know, it's honestly kind of comical. You know, I chuckle when you say that, but it really is. You know, I mean, it's unfortunate. This kid does not have it. He does not have it. He seems to be very mentally like weak in terms of like his, you know, his mental toughness, his resilience, his confidence level, his ability to handle big moments and make big plays. He's just absolutely definitively not a winner. Not a winner.
He is not a winner. And it is really sad because I think he goes out there and I think he plays his hardest. I think he tries to be the role that he thinks he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And you see it when you watch him play it, and you certainly saw it on Sunday, but he puts a lot of pressure on himself in some ways. And then he can't handle the pressure he puts on himself and he falls apart.
I agree. Yeah.
Let's talk, Justin, a little bit about the Chargers in LA, because we talked about this in the preseason, and the Chargers right now very quietly are 6-3, And they are winning the way that Jim Harbaugh loves to win. Jim Harbaugh has completely transformed the identity of not only the team, but also the quarterback, Justin Herbert. He's not putting up big, soft, phony, baloney numbers like he did against Brandon Staley. His numbers statistically have been modest, but he's winning games. I think they're playing. I've never bought into Herbert. I've never believed in that Chargers team. I will say this. Jim Harbaugh is building a program that I think is going to be more enduring and more likely to win games and win in the postseason than anything they've ever had in that Chargers franchise before.
Yeah, because he's, I mean, he's building them with a sturdy foundation, right? Good offensive line, you know, solid running game. I don't think they don't get too cute. You know, they got an okay defense. It's fundamentals first. Brandon Staley, it seemed like it was more so like flashy trick plays and advanced metrics telling you to do for this and get to go for that. And it just seems like what they got with Harbaugh now is just some stability. They have some actual experience and leadership that they can rely on. And again, they're going back to fundamentals. They got a good offensive line. They're protecting their quarterback, and hopefully they'll keep adding weapons for him in the future. It seems like they picked a great one in Ladd McConkey. And again, when you back it all up behind, you know, a decent defense, things tend to work out. You don't have to overcomplicate things sometimes.
And they're not asking the quarterback to do too much.
Exactly. I think
they have always done from the first time Justin Herbert walked on an NFL field.
Right.
They've been asking him to do too much. Now, for the first time in his career, they're truly trying to use him as part of a larger program. And it's working.
Agreed. Totally agree.
All right, one last one, then we're going to wrap it up. I do want to take a quick second to revisit the Michael Penix, Kirk Cousins trade, Justin, because we're 10 weeks in, and the New Orleans Saints beat the Atlanta Falcons this week, kind of one of the stunners of the week. You know, I don't know if you're going to hear any talk about going to Michael Penix at this point. I just think back to the Falcons not taking a player in the first round, and the way Kirk Cousins has produced this year. And one thing you can't deny, he's been very productive.
Yeah.
In terms of statistically, you know, output, the Falcons right now are 6-4. Even after the loss, they hold the third seed. I was a huge proponent of drafting Michael Penix. I can say at this point, I'm not saying I was wrong, but I'm saying I can understand more why people wanted them to take a player, because where they are now, if they had another piece on that team, maybe they're more viable as a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I agree. You know, in my mind, you know who I think the Falcons are this year? I think they're the Vikings of the last four years. They're the almost exact same team, right? They are Kirk Cousins led. Pretty good offense, or I would say, you know, a high powered offense. They got some weapons. They can put up points. They got a decent defense. And they're keeping their heads above water, a couple games above 500. They are, for all intents and purposes, the Vikings. And I think that you're going to get the same type of result. I think this is going to be a team that'll probably sneak into the playoffs. I don't see them going past the first round. And I think you're going to get more of what you're used to getting from Kirk Cousins.
So then if that's how you feel, and I kind of agree with what you said, which is why I said they were right to draft Michael Penix, because you're never going to win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins.
Right.
So even if they pulled another player with that number 8 pick or whatever it was, would it have even mattered? Are they ever, you know what I mean? They're not winning a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins.
No, I don't. And it's actually, it's funny because I was one of those people who thought they should have pulled a player at the 8. But now that I'm seeing this, I'm actually kind of like, you know what? They were probably smart to pick Penix because this is who they are. This is who they will be with Kirk Cousins. And the only chance for them to take a next step is to have a successor with a higher ceiling and more potential. And that's what they gave themselves a shot at. If I'm being honest, I don't think you're ever going to get there with Kirk Cousins.
You're going to always have a good year. You're going to get plenty of 3 touchdown games. But he will always fall apart when it counts.
Yep.
All right, Justin, any more thoughts around the league before we wrap up this episode?
Any more thoughts? No. you know, I think it's definitely still shaping up to have some interesting storylines over the coming weeks. You know, it really is weird because it just truly does feel like one of the years that like nobody actually is out of it. And weirdly, even at this point of the year, a ton of teams are still like not only mathematically, but like kind of conceptually alive. Like it's, you know what I mean? So a lot could happen. There's going to be a ton that we find out over these next couple of weeks, but it really still is a wide open season.
It is. And I think in the NFC, I think the NFC is stronger than the AFC. Yep. I think the Niners are still very much alive at 5-4. I think the NFC playoff field is going to be strong no matter who makes it. I see eight teams, good teams, going for seven spots. In the AFC, you're going to get a bad team make the playoffs. There's going to be a dud that sneaks in.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably.
But of all those dud teams, right? And, yep. And you're going to have Broncos, Colts, Dolphins, Jets, and Bengals. One of those dud teams is going to make it. Is there any doubt the AFC playoff field is best if that team is the Bengals, right?
Yeah, definitely. The AFC benefits the most if the Bengals are able to get that seventh seed, 100%. And who knows, the way things are going, like, you know, the Bengals wind up 10-7, 9-8. That could even be a six seed. Like, you never really know with this AFC picture.
No, you don't. And I mean, we, you know, you can always project out whatever you think is going to happen. We always know that there's always those unexpected losses. Every team drops a game or two that you don't think they're going to come down the stretch. And it really changes the playoff picture.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally.
All right, man. Well, that's all the time we have. We are going to wrap it up. I want to say thank you to everyone that may have listened to the Dr. Football Ultimate Patriots Around the League podcast. I want to wish you all a great week. Enjoy the games. Have a super weekend. We'll catch you all next week with some more episodes. Have a great week, everyone.